All righty. Good evening, everyone. Time to start a worship service this evening. Let's all stand as we sing the Glory Land Way. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the Glory Land Way. List to the call, the gospel call today. Get in the Glory Land Way. Wonders come home, oh, hasten to obey, for I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the Glory Land Way. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the Glory Land Way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the Glory Land Way.
All right. I'd like to welcome Mr. James up here with me tonight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just stole that in the floor. That's fine. Tim will pick it up. That's his area. All right. I'll live in glory.
I'd like to stay here longer than men's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven way. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim's way, and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep Him ever nigh, and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing. By faith I look away to yonder home supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky and spend the endless ages in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
Through the
eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road with all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll sleep into the valley unafraid. And we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to head hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, we'll let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back to wayward sons. And by your Spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, we'll let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God, breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God, breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, we'll let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. We call out to dry bones, come alive. Oh, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive.
All righty, be seated, please.
Thank you for being here tonight, and we'll finish up where we left off this morning. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Start with point number 3, becoming bitter through the circumstances of life is easy to happen, and it affects lots of people. Let's see, how do I want to do this? Let's stand together, and we're We're going to start with verse 15 of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So, that thought has to do with those around us, that we're looking out for other people. And then he moves to the root of bitterness. And he says, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and there many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. That's a sad place, isn't it? No place of repentance. Though he sought it carefully with tears. You may be seated. I brought with me tonight another translation called the Message Bible by Eugene Peterson. And Eugene and I don't agree on everything, but I like some of the things, quite a few of the things that in his translation, the way that he has translated things. And so starting with verse 14, this is how he puts this passage. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. And I like that statement. I like this next one also. Watch out for the Esau syndrome. Now, I never thought of calling it that, but watch out for the Esau syndrome. And I think that has a lot of preaching in it, Tim. That Esau syndrome that we're to watch out for. Trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. So I think that's what Hebrews here in this passage is talking to us about, is trading this lifetime of what is good for a short-term appetite. And so he warns us against doing that, and we'll see that. Trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite, you will know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing, but by then it was too late. Tears or no tears, it was too late. That really spoke to my heart. Becoming bitter through the circumstances of life. He uses the word here, failing of the grace of God. And bitterness beginning to grow in your heart. So, one of the things that I see in this passage is that there is this warning to bring folks along with us, that no one gets left behind, that we keep an eye out for everyone, that not only in our own life, and I think particularly in our own life, he is speaking in this passage of Scripture, but also in the lives of other people, that we allow folks to become accountable to us for their life, and that we become accountable to other people for our own lives. I think that the Promise Keepers, a men's group that I don't hear much about anymore. I don't know if they're still going or not. But one of the main issues of that group was that we hold one another accountable. And especially in the area of sexual sin, that we hold one another accountable. And so he says to watch out for other people as we watch out for ourselves. A bitter person is easy to spot. Now I want us to just do a little, let's look on the inside a little bit tonight as I look inside. I'm reminded of Bill Gaither's little kid song that says, "The mirror of his word, reflections that I see." Did you catch that line? The mirror of his word, reflections that I see, make me wonder why he doesn't give up on me. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. And then he goes on to say he's still working on me. And so we allow God's Word, the mirror of God's Word, to send back this reflection to us. And as we look into that, we see where we might fail. But a bitter person's easy to spot. One thing, they're unhappy and unsatisfied. I think that happiness, many times, is a choice. Now, sad things happen to us, but I think that most of the time we choose our attitude. And if we take a attitude of gratitude, we drive bitterness away. When I have a brother-in-law that's in the nursing home right now in Harrison. We went to visit him this week. He's been my brother-in-law for 53 years. And so we've known one another a very long time. And not just real close, I would say, but we have known one another for a long time. We're friends. 26 years ago, he had a stroke caused by Agent Orange and Vietnam War. And so he's had a very tough life. And he's unable to care for himself. And he's on dialysis. And he's in the last throes of death. And we were on our way to make that visit. And, you know, I used to hear older folks talk about little pains that they had. And then I've discovered they weren't telling the truth. It's not little pains, it's great big pains. But they talk about you, as the older you get, these little pains that you have that you're not accustomed to. Well, I have a little problem with arthritis. And we were on our way to the nursing home, and I held up this finger, and I said, "Can you tell me how it is that a little joint in the end of your finger can burn and hurt as bad as that hurts?" And then I said, "Forgive me, Lord. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm going to see a guy that is in the last stages of life that's just a little bit older than me, 3 years older than me, and he can't even care for himself, and I'm complaining about a tiny pain in my finger." Well, bitter people are unhappy and unsatisfied no matter. You've heard this saying, if you they wouldn't be happy if you hung them with a new rope. And then I've heard other people say, "I couldn't kick if I had both legs broke." So those two are opposite, if you get the gist of that. So being unhappy and unsatisfied with all situations, doesn't matter what is going on in our life, we're dissatisfied with that. And here the Bible warns us about dissatisfaction, about being dissatisfied with things in our life. The bitter person's glass is always half empty. Things are just not good. I watch a little Andy Griffith. Do you? There's a lot of sermon illustrations in Andy Griffith. But I don't know what the old lady's name is, but she's always got something wrong with her. And she's always got a pain. And she wants to explain the pain to you and how it has affected her. And the glass is always half empty as far as she is concerned. These folks that are bitter, here the Bible says that they defile those around them. They affect those that are around them. You know, it's hard to be in a bad mood if you're around someone that is in a good mood. It's hard to stay like that. Someone that is happy and laughing, it's hard for us to not join in with that mood with them. We were in Florida a few years ago, and we went to church where one of the doctors that I had recommended. I think this is the place, I'm not sure, but anyway, we went to this big church. I mean, we walked far from here to Newt's store to the front door from where we parked at, but it's a big place, and they had a huge choir. And the choir was pretty much reverent, with the exception of this one lady. And she was having the time of her life. I mean, the songs just meant so much more to her than it did anyone else. And I got the biggest kick out of watching her sing. She could not sit still. And I thought, that's who I want to be. That's how I want to handle life. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be those sour pusses that were all hooked up there and no smile, but this lady was having the time of her life. And I thought, you couldn't stay around her very long without breaking into a laugh. I think she brought joy to the lives of the people that are around her. So let's look at the Esau syndrome. An example in verse 16 and verse 17 of bitterness. Now, the first thing in verse 16, he uses the word fornication. And that's in the scripture, defined as a sex sin. And then it says, or profane person, as Esau, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. The word fornicator here is unfaithful to your spouse because of bitterness, because he listed in the same thought, I think, that that's what he's using here. Because this individual is dissatisfied. The cup's always half full half empty instead of half full, and dissatisfied with life and everything that's going on, until it brings the individual into a place that they actually harm their family. I think that there is no way that us men can warn one another enough. I mean, I think that we should constantly warn one another against this sin. A few years ago, I had a church member that had talked with me about a lady that needed something fixed in her house, and he was telling me things were always broke, things were broke, and her husband was off somewhere working. And I said, "Son, let me give you a little fatherly advice." I said, "Always take your wife with you. Just always take your wife with you." And you know, he began to do that, and things quit breaking. There is no way that we can watch one another's back as much as we should. But this, let's talk about Esau, this profane person. The word profane here means God dishonoring. He did not put God's blessing in the place that it should be, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I like what Peterson said in that passage. A little bit of a thrill. And lost his testimony. A step in the wrong direction. A word spoken out of place. An innuendo, something that should just not be there, and lose a testimony of a lifetime. What happens in the life of a bitter person? Here the Bible says that they affect everyone that is around them. Something happened and they failed to forgive. Something in their life that maybe they had nothing to do with it. It just happened. But because the devil used that opportunity to break that person and to break their will, and so they defiled all the people that were around them. They didn't mean to become bitter. They just became bitter. I'll close with this little story. When we lived in East Arkansas, I did several revivals around the area where we lived, and I'd gone to a little place called Tupelo to preach a revival. And back then, the pastor always took you around to visit people and try to get folks to come to the revival. And this was that situation. And he said, "I want to warn you before we get to this person's house that he is bitter." And he kind of explained the situation to me. And he said, "He's so old, he's in his 70s or early 80s, I can't remember, but he's had a stroke, and it had left him disabled, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was super bitter." And he said, "His wife is right the opposite. Although she has lived with this person and this bitterness all these years, She is right the opposite of that. She's a beautiful lady. And he said, when you see her, you won't believe that she's as old as she is. She's a beautiful lady inside and out. And I told him later, I said, yeah, that must have been what Sarah looked like. While we were visiting the man, he just spewed out bitterness while we were there. And that he had a right to be bitter. And so he thought. And that life had dealt him such an awful blow that he was going to be bitter, and he had a right to be bitter because of these things that had happened in his life. And he would never, ever darken the church door if this is what God had to offer him. And while we were there, his wife came. And it was amazing. This lady was amazing. How that she had lived it with that bitterness, but yet she had such a sweet spirit about her. And she had overcome the bitterness of those around her. And I think that this is what the Scripture teaches us, that we're to overcome the bitterness of those that are around us. A while later, I don't know how many years later, but or even if it was a year, I don't know. But a while later, I was visiting with the pastor, and I said, tell me about the man that we visited. I said, did you ever get him to come to church or talk about God? And he said, let me tell you about that. He said, it is amazing. He said, his wife died. This beautiful lady died. And he said, after she died, he started coming to church. And I said, now that's an amazing thing. She kept her joy, and she was having an effect on his bitterness the entire time. But he wouldn't let her know about it. How beautiful it would have been if he'd have given while she was still living. That's all I have. Let's stand together. Brother Richard, Richie, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?